Can you drink of the cup that I am to drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am to be baptized? Such was the response of our Lord Jesus. Keep in mind that if we just went two verses prior to this gospel passage, Jesus, for the third time, would have said to his apostles, I am going to Jerusalem with you. I will be handed over to the chief priests and the elders, be persecuted and condemned to death. I'll be handed then over to the Gentiles, who will mark me, scourge me, crucify me. But then I will rise 3 days later. The response of James and John is, well, Lord, when you come into your glory, grant that one sits on the right and one sits on your left. They don't seem to understand. They want the position of glory without what it takes to achieve that glory. It would be like a student saying to a teacher, I want all of your knowledge, I want the A, I want the diploma, but don't make me do any of the work. Well, our Lord says, can you drink of the cup? It's a very Jewish expression. It meant to imbibe in another person's life. So our Lord is saying, can you really drink in my life and allow that life to be absorbed throughout your whole being? To be baptized was to be plunged into the water. Well, Jesus is saying, can you be plunged into my whole life? So in a way, our Lord is saying, externally, internally, physically, spiritually, can you give your whole self over to me, to serve me, and to serve in love? That's the key. Not to serve with the sense of only seeking some reward way off. No, to serve in love. As Jesus said, I have come to serve, not to be served. So these apostles say, yes, we can. Even then our Lord says, you need to do it out of love. Not simply looking for some reward, do it fully out of love. I think of how St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the great theologians of our church, perhaps the greatest, was praying one day, and he knelt before the crucifix. Suddenly our Lord came alive, and Jesus said to Thomas, you have written so well about me. What reward can I give you? And Thomas said, just simply yourself, Jesus. That's all he wanted, just to share in the love of the Lord. Well, my brothers and sisters, we should not be too hard on James and John, because they learn a valuable lesson. After Pentecost, filled with the graces of the Holy Spirit, they went out with the other apostles and they preached the gospel. They gave witness to the faith, and they all would die for the faith, except St. John, who survived the means of execution. So St. James, this is St. James the Greater, goes all the way to Spain, preaching the gospel, returns to Jerusalem about the year 42, and he's the first apostle to be martyred. Then St. John, the youngest of the apostles, takes care of our Blessed Mother in Ephesus, which is in Turkey today, until the time of her Assumption. Then afterwards, he continues preaching the gospel. About the year 80, he's brought to trial, condemned to death by being thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil. But miraculously, he survives. He's banished to the island of Patmos, but he will live until about the year 100, into his 90s. And here, this last apostle is able to teach some of the other great saints of our church, the church fathers, like St. Polycarp, St. Ignatius of Antioch. But in a way, we see how these two saints were like the first to be martyred, to set an example for the rest of the apostles, and then the last one to live, that set the example for the later generations of the church. In all, though, all of these apostles truly did serve. They gave of themselves. They drank the cup. They were baptized into the same life of our Lord. So much so that in the end, can't we say, they're the ones that sparked the conversion of that pagan Roman Empire and founded the church that we enjoy to this day. With this in mind, then, we think that we're here because of them. We're here also because of so many others who have given their lives to go out on mission. Today, in our church throughout America, we dedicate to missionaries. This is Mission Sunday. So we think just of the history of our country and how so many of our great American saints were truly missionaries who gave their lives. Tomorrow, for instance, is the feast day of the North American martyrs, St. Isaac Jogues and St. John de Brebeuf and other companions who were Jesuits who came over in the mid-1600s, not only to care for the French colonists at the time in Canada and upstate New York especially, but also to evangelize the Native American people. They had some success, and one of their converts was St. Kateri Tekakwitha, a Mohawk Indian who converted. Then later on, we think how at the beginning of our country, in the early 1800s, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, a convert herself to the faith, established our parochial school system so that Catholic kids could have an education. Later in the mid-1800s, St. John Newman, Bishop of Philadelphia, had to deal with the first wave of immigration, especially from Germany and Ireland, establishing parishes and schools. Later on, in the late 1800s, St. Catherine Drexel, one of the wealthiest women in the country at the time, dedicated her life as a nun, establishing the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, who were dedicated to serving the African Americans and the Native Americans, two groups of people, especially at that time, that were marginalized and forgotten. And then in the early 1900s, St. Francis Cabrini came from Italy to this country, again to deal with the new wave of immigration, founding hospitals, schools, orphanages. And we could go on. I think, too, of how this past visit to the United States, Pope Francis canonized Father Junipero Serra, who in the early 1700s began founding missions in California, beginning in San Diego and walking all the way up to San Francisco. During his life, he established 9 missions. It is estimated that he walked over 5,000 miles. And he founded these missions, yes, to care for the spiritual needs of the Spanish colonists, but also to help the Native Americans who were struggling to live because of difficulties with agriculture and so on. At these missions, they had schools to learn how to read and write. They learned agriculture and other trades. And most importantly, they learned the faith. It is estimated that St. Junipero Serra baptized over 6,000 Native Americans during his life. All missionaries. And they weren't thinking about some reward way later on. They drank the cup. They were baptized with the same baptism of our Lord. They served our Lord and others generously, pouring themselves out, as St. Paul would say, like a libation to bring about God's kingdom here and now. Well, my brothers and sisters, when we think about the example of these saints, when we think about our own lives, and we celebrate Mission Sunday, we should remember, you and I are called to be missionaries today. Pope Francis, during his visit, reminded each of us that we're called to be the witnesses of gospel joy to this world, particularly to our own country, our own community. Granted, that's a real challenge. Pope Benedict cited 3 of those challenges. The first is we deal with a society that sometimes sees no difference in religion. It's like whatever religion you want, that's okay. Even make one up if you want to. We have to show people that Christ makes all the difference in the world. When we consider our second passage that St. Paul wrote, we find St. Paul emphasizing Christ is our high priest who came into this world by the will of the Father, became man to give us greater human dignity, who showed us how to live, but also suffered, died, and rose for our salvation. No other religion has a Savior. Remember that. Christianity has a Savior. And that's why Christianity is the true religion. And that's why you and I should be evangelizing people and telling them about the goodness of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior and the fullness of God's revelation of His truth and His love. The second challenge, though, is then not seeing the difference between churches. Now, Christians share many things, but you and I have to remember we're the missionaries of our Catholic Church. We must not forget Christ founded our Catholic Church. As the Second Vatican Council emphasized, the fullest means of salvation subsist within the Catholic Church. The fullest means being what Christ gave to us. He gave to us the sacraments, the revelation, whether scripture or sacred tradition. We have that consistent continuity of faith, the handing on of the teachings. He gave us the apostolic leadership. We should be joyful that we're able to share in the beauty of our Catholic faith, and in so doing, be willing to share that with others. How wonderful it is if we can talk about the joy of our own Catholic faith and show to others how wonderful it is to believe and to have received what Christ has entrusted to the Church. Another difficulty or challenge that we face is the problem of presumption, where so many people think that they really don't need God. They don't need God's help, and somehow yet are guaranteed heaven. So many people think, well, if I have a baptismal certificate, that's all I need. I'm guaranteed heaven. Or if I have a confirmation certificate, well, I know everything I need to know. I'm guaranteed heaven, and I really don't have to do anything. It's like a modern-day Pelagianism. Instead, you and I have to show how important it is that we open ourselves to the grace of God, the grace that we receive, especially through the sacraments. St. Paul emphasizes how we should go to the throne of God's mercy. Well, where do we find that? Well, right here at this altar. How wonderful it is to know that today we will receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. What a great strength, grace that is, to know that our Christ shares with us His very life. So as St. Paul said in that letter again, we have that Savior who shares with us in our joys, our sufferings, sorrows, disappointments. Christ comes to share with us His very self. That throne of mercy, too, is located in our confessionals, where when we do sin and fall, we don't have to carry that burden for the rest of our lives. We can go to confession and know that when we hear those words of absolution, we're freed from sin. That grace is restored in our lives. So my brothers and sisters, we are the missionaries, but yes, we face the challenges. Let us be really dedicated missionaries and look for the opportunities to bring others to faith. One of my great privileges as a priest is to be able to work with converts, especially adult converts. And I always will ask them, you know, why do you want to become a Catholic? Almost always, the person will say, because I know this person. Could be a relative or a spouse or even a friend, but I know this person who so loves the faith, has so much meaning from that faith. That's what I want to believe too. That's the role of the missionary. This is what Pope Francis was talking about when he said, be a joyful witness of the gospel message. Well, you and I have to ask ourselves then, do we convey that? And are we willing to share our faith with others? After all, many people are looking. We are living in a very wounded world. We're living in a world where many people have an emptiness. They may try to satisfy that emptiness by material things or by even sensual pleasures, even things that lead to addictions. But that never brings happiness. Many of us know that. So we have to show them who, and that's Jesus, who gives the true happiness. Isn't it sad, for instance, that a couple of weeks ago, a sophomore at Potomac Falls High School took her own life because her boyfriend broke up with her? How tragic that is. Here a young person with so much future ahead would take her own life because of something that in the long scheme of things really doesn't have that much bearing on life. And yet it shows there's an emptiness, a woundedness in so many people that they don't have hope. And things of this world are not giving them that hope, that love to fill the emptiness that's there. So my brothers and sisters, let us commit ourselves again this day as we prepare to receive the Holy Eucharist at this Mass, to commit ourselves that we really will drink of the chalice and imbibe in the whole life of our Lord, that we will plunge ourselves into the mystery of His life so that we can go forth and be those joyful witnesses of the gospel message. May God bless you.